out. And so I told him that we wanted to clean up crime here, and I need a man of stature and ability, and to tell him to come on in and help his country. And we'd try to look out for him down the road. I didn't make a commitment or a promise, but I would do it. He doesn't want a little district attorney's job, but I told Nick Ketson back then to try to work in Eddie Wise along an assignment over there and work in Tyler to be charge of lands. They didn't think he'd had the administrative experience, and he had never been in a courtroom. He didn't know what one looks like, and right. Never tried a case, and he was young and rather immature, and they were afraid of it. But they said they would give him a criminal justice assignment. They would give him some excellent legal training, and they would guide him, and they could make a good lawyer out of him if he'd work at it a year or two, and then we could, before my term's out, do something nice for him. I'm working on that, and so I named Brass. Drew called up and just abused Harry McPherson, said the ugliest things, and said this is outrageous, and he just wanted me to know that he considered it a personal insult to him. And Harry said, why? And he said, well, that Bress had sued him, and that he had blackmailed him, and he had been ridiculous. So we said, well, how would you expect us to know it? And he said, well, he represented a fellow named, former senator from Wyoming, I've forgotten his name, but Barrett, Frank Barrett. And that he had defeated Barrett by 2 or 3 columns the last week when it couldn't be answered, saying that Barrett had stolen something or something. And it was completely untrue. So Barrett went to Bress, who Bress had never heard of before, and employed him to sue Pearson. And Brett told him he wouldn't sue him. He didn't think that was wise. That if the facts were as true as alleged, and he could prove them, that he would go to Pearson and get Pearson to correct him, and that he's already defeated, and that that was the wisest thing to do for his future. And he wouldn't listen to him, said he was going to get another lawyer, but Bress finally talked him into it, and he went to Pearson and showed him the facts, and Pearson said he was wrong and corrected him and wrote Bress and said, you performed a great service and you've handled it wonderfully, and I deeply appreciate it. Well, Pearson didn't tell us that, so I called up the Attorney General and told him I wasn't supposed to know who had sued Pearson, and I thought a man's entitled to a lawyer anyway, and if just because a lawyer takes a case, he's disbarred, and he can't ever be even a district attorney, I think that's an awful country to live in. So for him to talk to Pearson. So Harry McPherson talked to him and explained all this. And I told him the Attorney General to get in touch with him. So the Attorney General called in Bress, and Bress brought a whole damn stack of files that shows that Pearson recommended him and said he's the greatest man in the world for what he'd done after he's all over with. Yep. Now this morning, I get through here with the swearing-in ceremony and signing a bill. Why, Pearson calls up Bill Moyer and demands to see me and just throws his weight around, just really threatening, and winds up by saying that he has talked to Abe Portis and that Bress is no good, that he wanted to know first, he wanted Harry to know who had recommended him and what powers behind it. And Harry, very foolishly, I think, said that some of the leading Jewish people in this community had recommended him, and that I hadn't, the Jews voted for me, 98% of them, and I wanted to show them I wasn't going to discriminate, and I had named only 3 or 4, you and Abe Porter, and I wanted to name this fellow, and I'd had 400 appointments, and I just wanted them to show that I wouldn't appoint a man because he's a Jew, but I wouldn't turn him down because he's a Jew, and that the Jewish community is very strong for him because he was the head of the whatever the organization is. And he said, well, the Jews had no right, and it's just outrageous. A man's appointed because he's a Jew. And so he just started making a regular anti-Semitic talk to Harry, who's half Jew himself.
I didn't know that. You and I that?
Yes, yes, he is. And his mother is Jewish. And he says that Bruce Sundlin has come to him now and has told him that Bress was forged a lot of stock and stole a lot of money in 1958, and that he had robbed some people, and he is a thug, and that he called Abe, and he told Abe about it, and Abe had said that I would immediately withdraw the name. And that he just thought that had to be done. So we called Abe. He's in Puerto Rico on a vacation. He said he hadn't done any such damn thing. He didn't believe a word of it, that he knew Brett, that he'd tried a lot of lawsuits with him and against him, and that he never knew a more honorable man, and that he didn't think he'd ever forged anything. But that he heard Pearson, and Pearson alleged all this stuff, but he didn't believe any of it. Well, now, I don't know who the hell Sundland is, and I gather, though, he was on your satellite outfit, wasn't he?
Yes, and he's Fast Story's campaign manager, and he's just frustrated because he wasn't named the head of the FAA or Air Force Secretary. He's a lawyer. I don't know why he'd have anything against Brett. I was the delegate, the House of Delegates of the American Bar Association with Dave Brett. I know his kid goes to St. Albans with mine. He's a fine man. He's got a wonderful law practice, and you should also know he represented your niece, Diana MacArthur, in an automobile accident. He's got an outstanding practice.
I didn't know that, so I don't let anybody else know it, because they'll say it's crony.
So you'll know it.
Yeah, I never heard it.
Well, I know you didn't hear about it. You get yourself involved because of your friends. You don't do anything justifying criticism. Now, what do you do? Call Drew?
No, I don't know what to do. I want your judgment. I don't know. I think he'll say that I'm trying to pressure him, you see, and I don't think that'll do any good. I just think we got to figure out what to do. Can you ask Sundland what it is that you've heard about, and don't tell him you talked to me, but or should I ask Pastore to find out from him, or what?
No, here's what I think I ought to do. Drew is up there wearing it, and I'll just call him and say, how do you think I did? So I think the president's over generous with me, a few things like that. And then he'll bring up the press business, or else I'll say, I was also pleased with the Dave Press appointment. But I'll do it. Let me get his reaction.
Yeah. Tell him you recommended him.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get Breslin in trouble, and I don't want to fight him, and I want to help Tyler. He's going to make it impossible for me to help him, though. And I could tell Tyler this, but I'm afraid he's such a blackmailer. God Almighty.
Well, you know, he's his own worst enemy. You called me about this program, and I never gave you a full explanation, but I just want to, it's on my conscience, I want you to know. He has a sponsor for a 5-minute program. 5 days a week. The network doesn't want to make the time available. So he soared the world, you see. All I did with Eddie Weisel was said, don't you guys want Pearson on the network? If so, tell me. See? This is his animus. This is his pressure. And he thinks government ought to step in and tell the networks they ought to put Pearson on. Well, he's wrong. I told him. I said, Drew, if they don't want you, you can't do anything about it. You can't bring a suit. You can't ask the FCC or anybody else to do anything about it. But you're right. He's his own worst enemy. Good heart, you can use him to good advantage, but he just needs guidance and counsel. He turns to me, he's always done everything I've asked him to do, and so I'll take care of him. I'll let you know.
Well, I don't want to take care of the man's a robber.
I don't.
And if he's a fraud, I think
we're... That's a fact. I just can't believe that if he were a fraud and a robber, he would be disbarred. The grievance committee would have a proceeding against him. It would have elected him president of the Bar Association. This is not a political job. It's an honor that's given to a lawyer.
I never saw Brest but once, and that's when he was named. I walked over. Was he named same day you were?
No, he was in the last week.
No, I named him at a public press conference not long ago.
A couple weeks ago. I was there 6 weeks ago. That was my first day at the office. I'm working.
I'll tell you one thing that they say we're very weak on. We're going to make our foreign policy next year our domestic policy. And we are going to, sometime or other, we think we ought to, take pictures of signing medical gear in a 75,000-acre seashore park this morning between Philadelphia and New York, and the higher education bill, and the elementary school bill, and the voters' rights bill, and the civil rights bill, and the medical care bill, and each one of these, and then we're going to send a big chart out. We think that we ought to have our ambassador show these pictures signing these bills. The Republicans, Democrats, all present, with a little line in the language of theirs saying so. They tell me we are rather short on movies of us and records of it. And they tell me Latin America, we're just not doing anything there. They don't even know anybody but Kennedy. They never heard. They don't know who's president, hardly. And all of our ambassadors are pro-Kennedy people, our USIA people have been run by Don Wilson, and nobody's even trying to get...
What I'm going to do, did you read my memo to you?
No.
It says that Latin America is my principal area of emphasis. I've told the chiefs I won't take 1 cent out of Latin America, and I'm going to take all the savings from Europe and put it in Latin America. And I've got to get George Stevens to understand, though, that some of these films that he makes can't be just for Academy Awards, that they have to be for information. They have to carry a message, but I can handle that. Now, let me ask you why you remind me of this. Bobby Kennedy's going to go down there on his triumphant swing. One of our men came in yesterday and said, now, how do we handle it? We've got somebody with him and so forth. I said, well, I know what the itinerary is, but we use the procedure, and I'll let you know. But you can see the influences at work already.
Yes, did they have some of his people called over?
Yeah, one of them.
I know, but had he gotten, was he just on his own?
I asked him that. He said, oh, no. He says, I just want to know what your instructions are to how to handle it. I said, not for a couple months yet.
He didn't admit that somebody called him.
No, he didn't admit it. I asked him because that's the first thing. You know, my antenna goes way up on it.
Yeah, you reckon it had?
Yes. No, I'm having a checkmate on who appointed this guy, how long he's been here, and a few things like that. He's one of Don Wilson's men, yes, but I want to know how close. I'm aware of this. I've got real problems in this area.
Yes, I think so, and I think you have to really find them, and then without letting them know it, send them out away, get them out and demote them some way. What we got the problem, we're going to have a good many centers. We got Wayne Morse going.
Yes.
We got Fulbright going. We got Mansfield going. We're going to have a bunch of people over the world. I would rather doubt. I just have